Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not married to sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married to sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
What could Biden do right now to make you feel less like a reluctant Biden supporter?
I mean, we got a lot of problems. We got a high inflation. We have supply chain issues.
The economy and jobs is the top issue for voters. Replacing COVID, Republicans have a 33-point advantage driven by gains among independents. While job creation is up and the unemployment rate is down, 61% say their family income is falling behind the cost of living.
It's almost $400 just to go to the grocery store for three people. I mean, that's insane.
And that's what people are paying attention to. It doesn't matter what the talking heads on your cable news channel or maybe the blabbermouths who are on talk radio. Yeah, I'm talking about myself. What we tell you on either side of the aisle is important to pay attention to, or the things that you need to focus on. You're feeling this stuff in your pocketbook, and you're feeling it right now. And this causes people to look up and say, what's going on and who's actively working to fix it? Well, let's talk to our economic expert guest we have on each week. Stephen Moore joins us now, the senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks. Stephen, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Hey, Annie. Great to be with you.
So I'm hearing, that's Chuck Todd, take that for what it's worth, saying that the economy has replaced COVID as people's number one issue. I mean, we can set aside what that means about COVID and what this government's trying to do with that. But people see the economy and how it's not moving in the direction that favors the American worker, and it's starting to resonate.
Yeah, and now we've got a big sell-off in the stock market today. And so, you know, the economy's in a very precarious spot right now. I'm very worried about it, actually. You know, COVID seems to be in a little bit of a retreat, which is good news. But, you know, all of these, you know, really wretched policies coming out of the Biden administration, I think, are starting to catch up with us. And, you know, when you spend and tax and borrow and regulate and all of the things that are bad for business, bad for growth, it starts to catch up with you. So I hope I'm wrong, but the economy sure shows signs of slowing down. I mean, we saw for the first time last week a big increase in the number of people filing for unemployment benefits. The industrial production numbers are not very good, and the retail sales numbers are down. So there's definitely a slowdown, and I think you know, now is obviously the worst time to be talking about multi-trillions of dollars of more government spending. And I watched I think Biden's press conference last week, which was, 2 hours? I think it was extremely disturbing to people, you know, that he seemed completely delusional, full speed ahead with these failed policies. you know, that's where we are right now. I think we can get through this, but it's going to be a difficult period over the next few months.
So I'm looking right now on Amazon, speaking with Stephen Moore right now, and I'm looking at this book called GovZilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy, which is written by Stephen Moore. And
Yay!
It says here, foreword by Senator Rand Paul. Just as a nudge for folks to go out there and pre-order it, because it looks like it's coming out very, very quickly. Is it out now? You can get it now?
It just came out, so thank you for mentioning it. And that's, really, I just was inspired to write it. It's a very short book. It's about 150 pages long, but it really documents the massive growth of government over the last 100 years. And then just in the last, 100 days, practically, of just, we've spent right now about $5 trillion on COVID. And you have to really scratch your head and wonder, gee, if the government has just done nothing, would things have been any worse?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, do you really think we've gotten $5 trillion of our money's worth?
My life hasn't really changed much at all. And it seems as though the promises, as usual for the Democratic Party, they're always one election away. So we just have to vote for them one more time, and we'll get all the goodies that they're promising us that they'll pay with our tax dollars.
Right.
I want to go ahead. I was just going to say about this book. You're talking about the relentless growth of government. Things are troublesome right now for American workers, for American taxpayers right now. But the expansion of government has been so bloated, like you mentioned, over the last 100 days. That means that we haven't even necessarily felt the full breadth of what they have implemented so far. That is a frightening perspective.
Because we borrowed so much. It's like if you and I went out and just, partied and ran up our credit card and, had champagne and caviar and lobster. I mean, it would feel good, right? It would feel great. And then, the bills come due. It doesn't feel so good. That's sort of where we are right now. We've borrowed multi-trillions of dollars and just spent money we don't have. And everyone knows that's completely irresponsible. So I am nervous that now the bills are coming due. That's sort of the point that I was trying to make, is that, if you could just borrow your way to prosperity, then, Zimbabwe and Argentina and Venezuela would be the richest countries in the world.
Mm. I'm listening to President Biden react to the current state of the economy, and he's honestly attempting to make the case that it's a historic recovery. If you only listen to what the president said, you'd think we were having good times and that it's all to his credit. What's with the worker shortage and the jobs numbers? How do you boil those down for the average American individual who doesn't study the economy on a daily basis?
When he says that kind of thing, it just shows that there's a sort of sense that of just being out of touch with America. For the president to say, gee, we've had the best year ever, for the economy, the best modern day we're first year president. People aren't buying that. I mean, look at the opinion polls are showing only about 30%, about one in three Americans approve the way he's handled the economy. And people are nervous, and they should be nervous. I mean, we've so massively grown our government. Then they want this massive tax increase. Now, the one good thing that's happened over the last month has been that, thank God for Joe Manchin and for Senator Sinema of Arizona, that have blocked a lot of these worst initiatives. So if we can just get through January, through the elections this season, where I think the Democrats are going to get really spanked. And I'm not a rah-rah Republican, but these guys have really acted crazy. Then I think we can get a correction. I saw the president, by the way, I saw President Trump about a week and a half ago, and he was just shaking his head like, why are they doing these things? Look what's happening with the energy. Look what's happening in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where is Russia, do you think, getting all this money for their military?
Energy? I'm not 100%.
Yes, energy.
Yes.
Well, we should be the energy dominant country, and we've given it over to the Russians. And then we wonder why are they, acting so aggressively, because we have a president who's given up our American energy power, and we've handed it to the Chinese and the Saudis and the Russians.
Yeah, it just seems as though, you mentioned President Trump and make America great again. The idea of American greatness is something that is kind of detestable to the other side. And I believe this administration, there's nothing wrong with American greatness. It's preferred.
You know, you're so right about that. And even in the schools, I mean, it pervades liberal culture. You know, they're taking out America, you know, the idea of America being a great country, stars and stripes. All of this stuff is, you know, they're embarrassed. The left is embarrassed by our country. You and I are proud of our country. Look, we're not perfect country for sure. But, you know, we are a force for good in the world, not a force for evil. And, you know, you read some of these textbooks and you read what some of the teachers are teaching our kids, both in the universities and the high schools. You'd think we were the monster country that's, you know, causing all the problems of the world when we're the country that solves the problems of the world.
Yeah, you know, we're speaking with Stephen Moore. He's a senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks. He's got a new book out called GovZilla. You should check it out and order it today. I know that you called, was it Chicago that you called home in the state of Illinois?
I grew up in the Chicago area. Yep.
So I think, and I've said this many times on my show, but I want to get your perspective on it. Oftentimes when we talk about big blue state disasters, a lot of people talk about California or they talk about New Jersey, a lot of these coastal areas. But Illinois, smack dab in the heart of the country, is a wonderful, great state. And the way of the Chicago Democrats, a little bit of corruption sprinkled in, and a supermajority of Democrats controlling it have really driven a great state into the ground. They have an opportunity to elect a new governor this year, and I'm very encouraged by a lot of the candidates that I've seen come forward.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm curious how you think, like, the test kitchen of these blue states, Illinois included, how they reflect on, you know, for the Missourians who are listening to the radio right now, what we're doing in Illinois is what seems like the president is trying to do to the entire country. And there's not a lot of success in Illinois economically to point to say, yeah, this really works. We should do that.
So, well said. I couldn't agree more. I think you've very succinctly stated the problem. You know, we have two Americas today. You know, we have red state America and blue state America. I just got back from Florida where things are just booming. I don't know if you've been to Miami lately, but Miami, my God, it's just booming with activity. It's become the new New York in terms of being the new sort of financial center of the world. And so why is that? Well, let's see. Florida didn't shut down their economy. Florida has low taxes. Florida doesn't have, you know, powerful, you know, left-wing unions that drive the economies into the ground. And so, you know, you've seen there was a chart in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that showed that the Northeast last year lost nearly a half a million people. And the states in the South gain, you know, half a million people. So it's a migration of people and assets and money and businesses out of the Northeast. And unfortunately, states like California and Illinois, and they're moving to states that are more business friendly and have, you know, Trump type policies. And yet you're so right. Biden wants to make America look more like Illinois and New York. And we want to make America more look like Texas and Florida, you know, so it's tough for the Democrats to make. I've always found when I argue with liberals, they can all make all their arguments about how wonderful left wing policies are. And they're going to make the world fairer and they care more about, you know, minorities and we're racist and they're not. And yet when you come right down to it, you know, but it's not just whites that are moving out of Northeast. It's blacks and Hispanics are moving out of those states too. They don't like these anti-growth policies any more than you and I do. So if they're such great, you know, racial justice warriors, why is it that every place they govern, you know, minorities are leaving?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one that the Democrats would deflect and not answer because they don't want to cop to the answer. If I could ask you to just, you know what's going on in the state of Illinois and with a new governor potentially on the horizon, it is a possibility and potentially a shift in the General Assembly, which is supermajority of Democrats in both houses. What is the most impactful thing that you would suggest for a state of Illinois to engage in, like ASAP?
Well, look, leadership really matters. I saw firsthand what happened in New York in the mid-1990s when Rudy Giuliani became mayor. And I didn't agree with everything Rudy did, but oh my God, you could see every week you'd go to New York and things were improving, whether it was getting rid of the graffiti, the loss, the reduction in crime, the better schools, the more pro-business friendly, you know, policies. And New York was like, it was like night and day, and it happened quickly. So my point is, yeah, Chicago and Illinois can be improved pretty dramatically with a change in leadership. Illinois has one of the worst governors in America today. I mean, the only thing he has going for him is he's rich, so he's going to spend a lot of money on that reelection. But can anybody really say with a straight face that he deserves to be reelected? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, look what's Illinois is just hemorrhaging. And so is Chicago. A story in the Wall Street Journal last week that blacks are now leaving in record numbers out of Chicago. So it breaks my heart to say that, but it is happening, and it's because of bad policies.
Well, Stephen Moore, we are grateful for your time here, and I want to remind people again to go check out on Amazon, GovZilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Our Freedom. You can get it now, and I love that you said that it's 150 pages.
We need to get that book in the schools. We need to get it. You know, kids need to read it. It's, you know, a lot of just charts are showing what's happening. And that's why I wrote it, because I want people to be on, you know, like it's a fire alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope people pay attention. It's a very short book. You can read it in a couple nights, but I think it'll really educate Americans about the, you know, precarious position we're putting ourselves in with this, you know, massive growth of government, which is exactly the opposite of what our founding fathers envisioned when we set up this great country.
Yep, you're 100%, and you're getting that word out. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to share it with friends and Steve.
And next time I see you, Annie, I will sign it proudly.
Fantastic. I would love that. Thank you so much.
All right,
we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate you being here, as always. GovZilla. 150 pages, easy read. He doesn't know how much he was speaking to me when he said it was short. I am somebody who needs to be easy to take in. But he does have a very common sense approach to the economy. And he was a key part of the economic team that advised President Trump when he was going into during the campaign and when he was putting together that tax plan that did help a lot of American individuals. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Missouri's Secretary of State. Jay Ashcroft joins the Annie Frye Show here in just a minute. Elections coming up. And we want to know what those are going to look like in the state of Missouri. So stick around. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft in just a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is the Annie Frye Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Frye Show.
I keep hearing you're concerned about my happiness. All that thought you're giving me is conscience, I guess. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. While you and your friends were
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Just got done speaking with Stephen Moore with FreedomWorks. He's a great friend of the show, and encourage you to go get his book, Govzilla. He didn't ask me to ask you to do that either. I just think that it's worth your time. Short read from what he is saying, and probably a very good read, informational. There's a lot going on in 2022. Of course, 2022 has been synonymous with midterm elections. We've been talking, especially on our side of the aisle, been talking about midterm elections since the election took place in 2020, looking ahead. And if there's one consistent thing I hear from people, actually, on both sides of the aisle, it's the question surrounding election integrity. Can we trust our elections to be safe and secure and accurate? Well, let's talk to Missouri's Secretary of State. Jay Ashcroft joins us right now. Sir, thank you so much for the time today. It's great to have you here.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on again.
So let me just ask you that question. Missourians are concerned about the efficacy of voting, the way that many people federally are trying to take over elections and change elections. Can the Missouri voter trust that the system in their state is going to be effective?
I'm confident that Missourians can vote the elections in Missouri. Obviously, we saw in other states like Pennsylvania where they didn't follow their own laws. But in Missouri, we do follow our laws. We've run our elections well. We've seen some people that have been caught cheating. We've referred those to prosecutions. But as we continue to look at our elections, we can find no reason to believe that there was any sort of mass fraud or anything that would have changed the outcome of the elections. That doesn't mean we shouldn't continue to make them better. We ought to make sure that we require a government-issued photo ID. We ought to make sure that we go to hand-marked paper ballots. There are all sorts of things we can do to continue to make sure people can trust and have confidence in Missouri's elections.
So, you know, I am a resident of the state of Illinois. Our rules and laws
are... I'm very sorry for you. Please move on over.
Please send your sympathies my way. Thank you. What's the difference between Missouri and how they conduct? Like, what does a voter need to do in Missouri, and how does that compare to not necessarily specifically Illinois, but some of these other blue states who have made the thing wide open for voting?
Well, you know, we see a lot of states that don't want to have control over ballots. They don't want to make sure that the person that filled in the ballot was the person that should have it. We want to make sure that every registered voter can vote, but we just want to make sure they can only vote once, not twice. We want to make sure that when we have someone that's living in an assisted living facility, we're not just sending an absentee ballot out there that some staffer is filling out, but that we send a two-person team, a Republican and a Democrat, bipartisan, and we vote those individuals in person so we know that they are voting, that their vote is counting, and it makes a difference. It's not rocket science.
Secretary, I hear you saying you want to encourage everyone to vote, but there is a definite push out there from specifically the Biden administration and the Democrats controlling Congress, and we see it on the local levels as well, that there is a fear that there are people who are being marginalized, who are being excluded from this process. What evidence have you seen that that is the case, or to the contrary, what evidence are you seeing that that is not?
Well, that's just not true. In Missouri, while I've been Secretary of State, we started to implement a government-issued photo ID requirement. We weren't fully able to implement it because of a partisan Supreme Court. But even with what we were able to implement, we've heightened the security of our elections, and we've increased ballot access. We now have people that are voting in every one of our major elections that would have been turned away under the old law but are allowed to vote under this law. You can make elections more secure while you're making sure that every registered voter can vote. It's not that hard. The reason why Democrats are trying to make charges and changes is because they can see the polls. They understand that they are out of line with what the people of this state and this country want, and they're afraid that if Democrats don't put the thumb down on the scales, they'll be kicked out of power.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's always a power struggle that's taking place, and looking at the issues that continue to come up to try to change the way that voters do get to cast their ballots, you know that there is always a reason that both sides are pulling in the direction that they are. There are two issues that I continue to see come up on my radar as far as Missouri state voting and election processes are unfolding. And the first one is the redistricting maps. And again, I will reiterate, I'm from Illinois. You should see the new district that I'm in. It's like an Etch-a-Sketch got drunk and went crazy. And the second one is this ranked choice voting. Speak on those two issues for me and let me know specifically what those issues are that are facing Missouri voters right now and what you're doing to make sure that the end result here instills the integrity in the election process for the voter.
Well, with regard to redistricting, I think we need to do the best we can to make sure that whoever is in charge of the United States House of Representatives will do a good job of representing Missouri. Nancy Pelosi is not doing that. She's for abortion on demand. She doesn't believe in supporting our men and women in law enforcement. She doesn't believe in securing the border. She's fine with, 7-8% inflation we're having that is killing fixed income individuals, their ability to get what they need, and families that are not making a whole lot. We need to be creating opportunity for those individuals. We need to be creating opportunity for them with education. That's not happening with the current Congress we have. We need to go to a 7-1 map that will better represent, frankly, that the number one industry of Missouri is agriculture, and have seven districts that are based and founded in agricultural areas of our state. But it will also lead to change in Congress and get someone that will better represent our state. And with regard to ranked choice voting, you just have to look at who's supporting it. This is not something that's being done because they think that, oh, this will make our elections better. This will make them as pristine as the wind-driven snow. These are individuals that have realized they haven't been able to get their way under the old rules. So they say, we have to change the rules. That's what they're doing. That's what they've tried to do with other areas of our laws. The people of Missouri should be in charge of how Missouri's elections are run. I trust them. They are smart. I don't know why Democrats don't trust them, other than the fact that that the people of Missouri keep voting against Democrats.
That is evident for sure. I want to ask you a little bit more about the redistricting process, because I have a lot of people who have talked to me on this issue and advocated specifically for what you just talked about there, that 7-1 map. And I'm approaching this lightly for two reasons. The first being because I'm a resident of Illinois and I don't want to persuade people on something that doesn't directly affect me, since I'm speaking to a lot of people who it will directly affect.
But this affects everyone.
Well, it does. And that's that's the second thing that I wanted to address on this redistricting issue. The Democrats have massive control in the state of Illinois, and they have used every ounce of that control to squeeze out every voter in their favor in a way that absolutely is gerrymandered. When I look at the maps that have been presented in the state of Missouri, they don't look all squiggly and far-reaching the way Illinois Democrats have used that process to benefit themselves. How do you combat that accusation that a 7-1 map in the state of Missouri is a gerrymandered process that doesn't reflect the actual voters of those regions?
Well, first of all, there's two things here. I'm an engineer, and one of the things that we always talk about in engineering is you have to look at both sides of the equation. You cannot just look at what Missouri is doing and not look at what other states are doing. What is it? I think Nevada was won by President Joe Biden by 2.5 percentage points, and they're going to a 3-1 congressional map. So there was a 2.5% difference in the presidential vote tally, and yet they're going to give 75% of their congressional seats to Democrats, and only one of them will go to Republicans. If you look at what's happening in Illinois, I think they're going to go down to almost maybe two Republicans in their congressional district. Yes, Democrats have a majority at the state, but if you want to use population percentages, that's way out of whack. Look at New York. They're trying, I believe right now they have seven Republicans roughly, or seven leaning Republicans seats. There's a new map that's being put out by the legislature that would take that down to two. The idiocy here is saying that, well, we're going to act this way while everybody else is playing by different rules. It's like taking a knife to a gunfight. It's a stupid thing to do. Now, don't go to a gunfight either. Don't get me wrong. But when the other side is playing by those rules, we can't just roll over and act like it doesn't matter. For me, it's not even a Republican versus Democrat thing. It's about our country and the values that made our country great, and making sure that everyone, every child that's born and yet to be born, will have the opportunity for a challenging education, will know that regardless of the color of their skin or how much their parents made, they live in America and they can strive to be the best, and some of them will be the best in whatever field they want to take. That's what it is for me. This is about making sure that American dream continues, and that the benefits of liberty and tranquility continue on for future generations.
I think that's a pretty good advocacy for your position there. Secretary Ashcroft with us right now. The 7-1 map that you talk about, what's going to be the conclusion of this fight? How is this going to shake out?
Republicans in the legislature are going to roll over and ask Nancy Pelosi what she wants. And instead of even staying at the 6-2 map, they'll probably go to a map that'll be 5-3 in the next 4 to 6 years.
What does Nancy Pelosi have? Like, what? How? Why? I don't even know the question to ask. That seems absurd.
There's a joke I've heard where someone said the problem with Democrats is that they follow their platform. The problem with Republicans is that they don't follow their platform. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be used either way, depending on which side of the political spectrum you're on. I don't understand it. I think that's why we see such a an unhappy electorate, is they're sitting there saying, where are the people fighting for what we voted for? Where are the people that are standing up and saying, we don't want the values of Washington, D.C. imposed upon Missouri. We want the values of Missouri imposed upon Washington, D.C. It wasn't the values of Washington, D.C. that created this country. It was the values that we have in the heartland that used to be on the coast that took 13 pretty much inconsequential colonies and made them the lone superpower. And if we don't get back to that idea of those values, we are in real trouble.
So, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft with us right now. Before I let you go, is there still time for Missouri voters to advocate for that 7-1 map or
there
a secure 6-2?
There is always time.
And what do they do?
They need to, if at all possible, they need to get to the Capitol. If they can't, they need to be writing letters and calling. And it's, you know, yes, the redistricting is the topic du jour now, but what we need in government is more citizen participation. That's on education, that's on redistricting, that's on election laws, that's on everything. We need to fight to make sure we have a government of the people, by the people, for the people, not a government of the bureaucrats, by the bureaucrats, on the people's back.
So contact your state representatives, contact your state senators.
State legislature, get out on social media, make noise.
Make some noise. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, thank you so much for the time today. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. On Twitter, at Jay Ashcroft Mo, if you would like to tweet out at him. I mean, honestly, this advocacy that you, the power that you have in your voice, if you feel strongly about this, specifically folks in the state of Missouri, I implore you to advocate for the closest representation to what your state has, which is a very red state right now. That's pretty much thanks to Donald Trump, that you do speak up. Because, folks, if you have not looked at the map in the state of Illinois yet about the congressional districts, the new district that I am in that doesn't have somebody running openly in it at this very point in time, It's like a banana that goes from the Metro East area and it just squirms through Decatur and through Springfield and up into Champaign, because they drew that district, from what I'm being told, for one of Pritzker's staff members to run in. She doesn't even live in that district, or she's going to now. This is what happens in the state of Illinois. They sure are fighting dirty. I don't know that listening to the secretary there speaking about this, that what they're trying to advocate in the state of Missouri is fighting dirty. But it'd be nice to fight, wouldn't it? If it makes you mad, if you have a thought on this, do you know how long it takes you to contact your legislators? Not very long. Brad's going to tell us when we come back how to do that, because he has things on speed dial, and he had that before he came to the show. He's a nerd.
No pressure, right?
No pressure. Yeah, you put all those facts together, and Brad, when people come back, we'll talk about contacting our legislators and actually making a difference in just a minute. Don't go away. More Annie Fry Show right around the corner. Ryan's coming back in the 2 o'clock hour. I'm going to bring Hannah back in the 2 o'clock hour. Let's get that Hannah cam fired up on here. Hannah, you hear me? You got it? Okay, I'm getting a smile. She's saying I think she's going to put herself back up here. And on the live stream, make sure that you say hi. Annie Fry YouTube channel, Annie Fry Show Facebook page, Annie Fry Twitter, Twitch, Getter, Rumble. No excuse, folks. You can even listen to us on the old-fashioned radio. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
American people want us to make Medicare to negotiate prescription drug costs. People want to expand Medicare. People want to deal with the crisis of climate. So what we are talking about is what the American people want. And I think when you bring bills on the floor, we have allowed the Republicans to get away with murder. They haven't had to vote on anything. Now, if they want to vote against lowering the cost of prescription drugs, expanding Medicare, dealing with child care, dealing with housing, let them vote. And let Manchin and Sinema decide which side they are on. And when all of that shakes out, we'll see where we are. I have the feeling that we will be able to get 50 votes or more on some of these issues. We can put that piece together and then pass something that's very significant.
So Bernie Sanders saying the Republicans are getting off scot-free because they haven't had to vote on anything. Maybe that's, you know, I guess that's the criticism he's making, is the way that they've put together these bills and put them through. They haven't had to. Democrats have the votes to get through most, like anything spending. They can get that through because they don't have to go through a filibuster situation in the Senate. They've got the votes. Get the stuff done. After the Republicans take the House and likely the Senate in the midterms to whatever degree that they do, then we will hear the criticism over and over again. Well, why didn't you get anything done when you had the House and the Senate and the White House? Well, that's what everybody says. Those first 2 years when a new president takes over and they have all the control, they will wonder why they didn't get more done then. Well, maybe it's because the policies are largely destructive to the American understanding, to the way that we have created this country and we are trying to uphold this country. And I'm telling you what, right now, specifically on my Twitter, as I opened the show, I spoke immediately about law enforcement. And you might be like, Annie, why? What happened? What happened to law enforcement? What's going on? I didn't know that that was a top issue. Well, it's not. And that's my problem. We have officers being gunned down in the streets of our country. And when an officer goes down, we're not outraged. If there is a biracial incident that involves law enforcement, that becomes an issue simply because of the race. And I'm telling you right now that when you go back to the George Floyd situation, it's not that that shouldn't. I mean, if we everybody saw the video, everybody saw what happened. I don't know anybody who was advocating for the officer. Like, what was his name?
The officer that George Floyd's.
Killer. I always forget.
Man, why am I drawing a blank?
I always want to say the St. Louis one. There was nobody who was advocating for his innocence. Everybody was looking at what he did going, that's a disaster. What in the world is happening here? It was pretty much something that we unifying, that we saw together and we're like, this is bad. This guy should be punished for this. And he killed a man. I mean, that was something that we agreed upon. But that wasn't what was discussed in public. Derek Chauvin. Thank you, Joe, on YouTube. Nobody was advocating for how wonderful Derek Chauvin was as an individual. But it all boiled down to race, and it all boiled down to blue lives bad, black lives good. I mean, even those sentences, it's like something that a caveman would say. It doesn't take into consideration the nuance of the story on a broader scale. It was something that was used by politicians who wanted to win power to inflame people's emotions about something that was highly emotional and highly tense. And they used that as an opportunity to win power. It's like pimping. It's awful. It's horrendous. And it didn't make anything better for anybody. Nobody was better for what took place in the wake of that circumstance. Where George Floyd lost his life. He did not deserve to lose his life because of his crimes. He was a criminal, and he did deserve to be punished, but not Derek Chauvin doesn't get to be, you know, judge, jury, and executioner, and he's in jail and going to be for a long time because of it, rightfully so. The division that exists in our country, when you, as I said earlier in the show, when you are somebody who is advocating for individuals to see a particular issue by first reminding them of a specific demographic that is associated to the individual, so they tell you what your race is and therefore tell you what you think because of what your race is or because of what your gender is or because of what your economic lot in life is, and then that is supposed to dictate what you think and how you vote. They're saying to you, don't even worry about thinking for yourself. You don't need to invest in your own thoughts and your own mental process. And God forbid you consider your own individual circumstances. put those away. You don't need to. We can tell you what your individual circumstances are because we can see the color of your skin. We can see your gender, which I don't think you're allowed to do anymore. We can see things about you that determine what you should think politically. And, you know, footnote in very fine, teeny tiny size 6 print on the bottom of the page is, we need you to believe this because we need you to vote the way we want you to vote because we need to retain political power. It's about them. It's narcissism. It's disgusting. So I tweeted out yesterday, and I tagged Katie Stewart, who is my state representative. I tagged Rochelle Oddcrow, who is my state senator. I tagged Rodney Davis, who is my representative in Congress. I tagged Dick Durbin, who is my senator. I tagged Tammy Duckworth, who is my senator. And I tagged Pritzker, who is my governor. Tagged all of them and said, we need to have a unified message across party lines, from the Democratic Socialists to the far right wing representatives in Congress or Senate or wherever they are. Everybody needs to come together and support law enforcement right now. Make a statement on it. One thing we should all be unified on. Rodney Davis made a statement. He's the only one. I'm sitting here waiting. I'd be encouraged if you would do the same. State House rep, state senator, your actual congressional senators, your congressional representative, your governor, get people to make a statement on record about supporting law enforcement, because it needs to be the new message, because it's so common sense. You would expect it to be everywhere, but it's not. Police officers being gunned down in the streets, and it's a footnote. It's the 4th, 5th, 6th story on news channels, if they're covering it all. Put them on record. Brad, you're somebody who has contacted your representatives before for whatever various reasons, but you've got the stuff, you've got the numbers in your phone. What advice do you give to people who are saying, you know what? No, I want to hear from my, I want to see if, and remember, folks, a non-response is a response.
Yes, it absolutely is a response. My advice would be to, A, just do it. You know, a lot of people talk about, I'm gonna contact my rep, I'm going to contact my senator, and then they just don't. It's really easy to do. It's a quick Google search away. I'm not from Missouri. I found Missouri Capitol Switchboard number. You can call the Capitol Switchboard of the state of Missouri, and they'll tell you who your rep is, and they'll direct you right there. It's 573. I hope you guys have your pens and pencils handy. It's 573-751-2000. That'll take you straight to the Capitol Switchboard of Missouri. You can contact your state rep. I don't have the Illinois one offhand. I just learned who my reps are.
What is the Missouri one?
573-751-2000.
I'm putting it in the live chat for people.
So you can contact your state reps. I've sent, like, if you go to your state rep or whoever it is you're trying to contact, if you go to their website, there's a contact me on there. There's like a quick, like, enter in your address so that they know you're in district. You send them a message. I've gotten letters back from Dick Durbin. I mean, it was a form letter, but it was a response.
Still a response.
The only person, maybe she'll hear me. The only person who's never contacted me back when I've contacted them is Latoya Greenwood.
Really?
She's my state rep.
She's your state rep.
She has no interest in responding to me whatsoever, and I've contacted her on multiple occasions.
So she serves in the Illinois House, and she represents St. Clair County in large part, mm-hmm. East St. Louis, and there is zero reason. Clapping for effect. That a state rep shouldn't get back to you. If you're a senator of an entire state, if you are Dick Durbin and you can afford to send a form letter back to someone who completely I don't remember if you said the issue or whatever. If they have an operation there that makes sure that you know that regardless of whether Dick Durbin actually saw this or a staffer sent that back, that your voice was heard by the office. Where's Latoya Greenwood on this? It makes me think that she doesn't give a crap what you think because she doesn't need your vote because she's got it made. Well, okay. If you are in St. Clair County, if you are in, is she the 114th? Are you 114?
I can't say that offhand.
I think so. I think that she's the 114th. But if you are somebody who is in that district and you want to hear what she's the 114th, and you want to hear what her thoughts are on law enforcement, get her on record. Put her on record to make sure that we understand that if you live in the 114th, that Latoya Greenwood is prioritizing your safety and is willing to stand up to the thugs and the criminals who are willing to compromise your safety for their own personal benefit. Who does LaToya Greenwood, who does she answer to? The criminals? Her constituents that care? Put her on blast. Get back to me and tell me what she says, if she even does respond to you. Because if she doesn't, then let's replace her in November with a Republican who cares. Ryan Wiggins, Hannah, Brad, me in the 2 p.m. hour. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.